Hadithi yangu, my story. I tell it the way I lived it, the way I understand it, and the way it made me feel. It's my truth, my experience, my life. What's your story? 'Cause we want to hear it. Welcome to Hadithi Yangu Podcast, and my name is Cecilia Mlenga, your host and narrator.
Gloria and Pius, thank you for sparing your Saturday to sit with Hadithi Yangu Podcast to share your story. I have known you both for a couple of years, but before I get any further, congratulations on your wedding!
Thank you, Cecilia.
So we were just talking about how is marriage life, and your response was like, everything is the same. Is it really the same?
Trust me, everything is the same. Nothing has changed. I'd say maybe the only thing that has changed is how our friends refer to us and how our parents refer to us. And maybe the added ring. And what else? Pius, what has changed to you?
Looking at that in terms of parents, right now I feel like my family would, usually refer me as this big brother because of marriage. There are times they're like, Pius, from now you don't say shikamo. You know, there's no need to say shikamo. You just say, there's this language they taught me. It's a higher greeting where when you know someone who is married, that's the greeting you need to use. So you need to move from shikamo to that. There's been that change when it comes to how I engage with my parents. And you know, even right now, if I have to do any visit at my family home, I can't go alone. So I think that's also one of the changes.
Yeah, I think that also. I went at home on Saturday at 8, and then my mom was like, "Unaenda kumpikia mume wako saa ngapi?" And I was like, "Okay, now things are
serious."
You see, that's quite interesting. I think that's what makes me love Africa in a way, but sometimes it makes me question. But I guess the title comes with expectations, and there's that change. But it's quite beautiful as well, because if you're really happily married, you take pride in that. I cannot leave my wife. I have to take my wife wherever I go, you know?
Yes.
So it can be a beautiful thing too.
Indeed, 100%. And honestly, we enjoy each other company, so I don't mind to go with her to my family home every weekend. I think the only issue now that comes is, even to our parents, they want now to be informed, because if they know, you know, their child is coming with their wife or with their husband, there is that kind of preparation that they need to make. They want to make sure the environment really welcomes you too. So I think that's also more of a responsibility that has really gone to our parents.
Oh, that's also beautiful, because it shows that they care.
100%.
Yeah, they care. And you're better off having family members and in-laws that care than having in-laws that do not care, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, it creates a safe space, because for them, I think they're more of, we want you to feel safe, we want you to feel loved, we want you to feel welcomed, and that's how they can express that. So for me, that's top tier love. So I'm happy to hear that. Hungerini sana sana sana.
Thank you so much, Asante san.
Now, let's get down to business. So, about 2 years ago, you guys both experienced something extremely difficult. I would say life-changing.
Life-changing is the word.
Yeah. I'm sure it shook your sense of financial security and probably brought a lot of confusion. So, walk us through what happened. Let's get down to the day, to everything. Take us back to the moment you found out. We're losing our jobs. What was going through your mind? What did you feel? Walk us through that.
So maybe, I think to take that back, first, it was a bit different experience from us two, looking that I had already resigned from my job, and there's already a vision that I was looking for. And I think my my wife, Glory, she was already in that transition, but she hadn't already resigned, which I think later on she will come to touch base on that. But I think for me, look back, in 2023, already around May, I had already shifted my mindset, wanting change, wanting to do something that's out of my comfort zone. It wasn't clear already that I wanted to jump 100% into business, because also I was aware of the uncertainty that would come with it. First is the financial security, because business, you have to, you know, invest a certain number of months to really put that effort for you to see that result. So it was a bit not certain 100% that I wanted to fully be, be in the business. At that time, I was thinking either I jump into another job that wouldn't take majority of my time while I also do business. I also start to build Ubuntu Impact, because even by around May, already thoughts in terms of the vision of the business, we had already started to build. But then it wasn't sure that 100% wanted to jump in. And I remember by that time, I'd already applied for certain, for over like three jobs. One was for a global company based in US. There was a bank here in Tanzania, one of the major banks. I wanted to just go there as a learning manager. And there was also another company that was setting base in Tanzania. I'd already applied. But now we'll come later to that. But I think it was also God's way of doing things, that with all the roles that I had applied for, I wasn't selected. Because of that, and now during that transition, that's where now I would say it was a bit a shock, because looking that I had already resigned and I had a notice for a month, but then my notice was cut short. And because I was now to live light away at the company that I was with, I had now to step into the market while I didn't have any new job, because by that time I wanted to balance a bit, have a job, but also do business. But it didn't work that way. So I think it was just God's way of doing that. Step right away into that uncomfort zone and see if, the magic would happen. So that was part of my story, where I had already envisioned this way of doing things. I wanted a bit of security, but also wanted also to do business. But then things just happened that with all the securities that I was applying, meaning the jobs, I wasn't selected. And when the situation happened with my last employer, where now my notice period was to cut short, I had to right away jump into the uncertainty of business. So maybe I would also invite Glory to touch base on her story on that.
Yeah, I think is bringing memories. So at least with Pius, as he said, he had already resigned. For me, it wasn't as good as that, because I hadn't had a plan of being out of a job anytime soon. And it was just abrupt. And I think, you know, sometimes how we live, sometimes it's paycheck to paycheck. You might have some savings aside, but your job is something that you get everything. Your bread and everything is from that. So it was really, I'd say it was a shocking moment. And it came out of nowhere. I didn't expect, you know, you wake up in the morning, you put on your outfit, you've gone to the office, and then in the evening, you're out of a job.
So yeah.
It was, I would say it was really an experience that was hard. And because by that time, we were already dating with Pius. So I was supporting him fully in the terms that he has resigned. And he's also, like he said, exploring to do business, but also looking for employment. So it was, okay, one of us might start exploring to do business, but I'll keep on staying in employment until maybe if something comes up, or if we see that the business part is better, then that is when I would exit. And it wasn't even in 1 or 2 years span. It was still something that was still so far-fetched. I wasn't even planning.
Nah. I think also just to add a bit on that, because when Glory was sharing, it also came to, you know, my senses looking back. You know, even how I resigned, it was quite very different. I think I gave this testimony to my church one day where, first I sent my resignation letter on Sunday. It was Sunday around 15 hours. It was after church service. I remember that time when I was praying and I was hearing this voice like, now, Pius, is the time for you to resign. It's time for you, because I had that letter for over a month. Always I'm telling myself, should I resign or not? Should I resign or not? Should I resign or not? And when I was praying that Sunday, that's when now I felt that voice and I resigned. But remember, I resigned not even knowing where I'm going, because most of these opportunities wasn't even selected. And I resigned, and I was now part of that notice, because I remember even my line manager always jokes. He once said, "Pius, how do you send me your resignation letter on Sunday afternoon?" even for me, I can't explain. It was just that moment where you feel like, no, I think this is the right time. Just send it. And I sent it. And when now, I think it was now after 2 weeks, during my notice period, after 2 weeks, that's when now the situation came in and my notice period was cut short. And with now being cut short, I was now pushed to enter into the market right away.
My goodness. So what I'm understanding is that you guys both ended up, you know, getting into business, but your experiences were quite different. I can understand how difficult it was probably for Gloria, because like you said, a lot of us live a very hopeful and faithful life that tomorrow, right, I'll be fine. You probably planned out your whole week and then, yes, going to the office, and then you're chased with all your things. And it sometimes leaves me a bit daunted, because it shows how much an employer has power over an employee. So the balance for me has always been very confusing. But maybe, how did you guys support each other emotionally during this period? And especially you, Pius, supporting Gloria, because as you said, you had really started transitioning mentally into exiting the employment employment sector. How did you support her? Because I spent a couple of days in post and pre her exit at the company, and I can remember it being very, very heavy on her. How did you manage to support her, to help her get to where she is now?
Yes, indeed. First, I would say, since it was also a shock for both of us, we spent 3 days of sadness, crying, and you know, not knowing what to do next. I think that's 100% happened. And I think it was the third day where we had to say, enough is enough. No sadness, no tears. Let's also see the brighter side, because we overspent the last a month where we would usually, you know, spend the job hours from 9 to 5 and then come home, do a bit of exercise, and then spend from around 8 to midnight. So even the time that we are putting into the business, where most of them, the late hours, but also you're also tired mentally and also physically. So we had right away to say, it's time for us to fully move from that mentality of feeling that, oh, you've been hurt, oh, you know, this and this happened, to that mentality of saying, this happened, so how do we move fully to the brighter side? And I think that was the time fully that I had to support Glory, because also for her, it was quite a shock. And also looking in terms of also the reasoning itself, why I wasn't also clear. So there was a lot of uncertainty in terms of to the whole matter. And I think also it was an issue of, do we need to dwell so much on this? At the end of the day, maybe even first for when it comes to employee matters like that, one thing that usually comes into mind, okay, do you need to go to CMA? Do you need to maybe present this case and see how, you know, fairness can be brought into life? But then on the other side, we had to think, maybe let's push that aside and see the brighter side. I think this was a way of God showing us that it's time we need to jump into this ship, even though we are scared. But as long as we fully believe in it, it will work out.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe, Gloria, this is a tricky one, but do you feel you were fairly treated? And if not, in what capacity? However you feel you're ready to share.
Yeah, I think till date, it's something that I still can't even grasp and understand why. So I would say, to answer your question, I didn't feel like it was a fair treatment. And the reason being, and I think my profession is a HR. So I know sometimes the company does tough decisions to terminate employees. And most of the time you strive to look for very meaningful reasons to terminate someone. And I never thought that something like that could happen and could happen to me without even knowing the reason. I think even my parents didn't understand the reason. My relatives, some even of my relatives had to lobby and call people inside. They thought that I was lying to them when I told them the actual reason that was presented. Some of them were like, no, this is not true. This cannot be true. So they had to call some people inside the company asking them, my relative actually said this and this and this. Is it true? Is this what really happened? So I think till date, it's something that I would say maybe last year, that is when I stopped thinking of it, but it really scarred me given my experience, my job experience, the way I preferred to treat employees as a HR and how I strived to look for fairness. That was really something that I could never take out of my mind. And Pius really helped me during that time because I was like, every time I was thinking of it, I was like, okay. And, you know, there's this, there's always this feeling of like, where will I get the fairness? I would go to court, but maybe I wouldn't even be, you know, the court system, probably I wouldn't be fairly compensated. And how much would I be compensated for the amount of emotional damage that was done?
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine. Did you consider employment? Because being released from a job so abruptly and then not being financially prepared for it, I know you guys transitioned into, you know what, we're going to start our own business. But did you consider employment at any moment, considering your financial position, or was entrepreneurship your only option at the time?
I would say for Pius and I, it was different. For Pius, I think he dived deep in entrepreneurship. And he said, okay, I think we can do this. Let's do it. He's usually that type of person, like, Tafanya, Titaweza, we can do this. And I would say for me, I was considering employment. I remember calling my past employer before the job that got me fired. And he told me, but, you know, I've already covered your position, but we can always find a way. And then I think it was the pride in me that how do I go back to the company? People will say this, you know, that is what usually brings us back as human beings. You feel you look at what people will say instead of looking at yourself at the moment. My parents were sending me jobs. My friends were sending me jobs to apply. So I did consider employment, and I think it was something that was still lingering at the back of my mind, given the fact that I'm used to this this lifestyle. How am I funding this lifestyle right now?
Yeah. Without a getting girl's lifestyle. I understand what you mean.
So it wasn't, for me, I wouldn't say I stopped looking for employment until a point when things started turning around in terms of, okay, this is entrepreneurship. And then I started seeing the trust that some clients are giving us, maybe our first client. I think our first client, and we usually tell her this, she was the turning point to our business, because once she believed in us and once we went to pitch and got that business, which was a retainer business, that was something that made me think, okay, so I think maybe actually this could actually work. But at first, it wasn't as easy as that for me.
Oh, wow. And what inspired the kind of business you decided to start?
I'd say our personal strength. So for me, I am a HR. So the business that we're doing is typically HR. in terms of HR consultancy, organizational development. So we had said, instead of starting something that we don't have strength in, and it is something that we know can work and we know is a need that people need in the market, that is what inspired the business. So we said we will keep on doing this because this is our strength. And we believe that we're really good at our function. So the balance is, Puce is really good with training and team buildings. I'm really good in terms of recruitment and HR. So we're like, yes, why not? Why not use our strength? Because this is the only thing that we can leverage on now. We can say, maybe open so-and-so business because where's the capital? When we start with another business that requires capital. The only business that requires our mind and our skills was this business that we're doing right now. And funny story, we didn't even have tools. We didn't have an office. We didn't have laptops. We had two friends who gave us laptops. Because I was using the company laptop and my personal laptop was given to my young brother. I think the same story with Pius. So we started with nothing at all. No laptop, no office, no business name, no registration, nothing. But yeah, I think we thank God for where we are right now.
Yeah, I think also just to cement on that, like the reasoning towards building Ubuntu Impact has always been first, since we have been very passionate about growth, we have been all passionate about supporting others to grow towards certain potential. Also, I think looking in terms of my journey, remembering when I was in one of the youth institutions that has really contributed to my growth, ISEC, back in the years, even when I was part of the national leadership, I remember there was one of the alumni once asked me, like, Pius, what do you really want to do in the future, or what are you really passionate about? And I remember I told him that I'm passionate about supporting companies to grow. I want to contribute to companies' growth. But by that time, it wasn't clear already in terms of in what basis. Is it people? Is it data? Is it marketing? Is it tech? Until now, at this time when it came in, where we're like, now we need to build something. But in what spheres? In what areas? And I think one thing that really came common to both of us was people. In what areas growth? We want to see people grow through the organization, but also as they grow, organizations also grow. So that's where we were. Then Ubuntu Impact, or the company itself, that's the more of the core why that should be built in. And even how Ubuntu Impact, the name itself, came into action was through that. Ubuntu, which symbolizes the togetherness, and impact, which is more about growth. So it was more of, as we highly stand for people's growth, then also let's build something that's more about growth of people.
That's quite inspiring. Because the way I'm thinking of it now, if I was to lose my job, I think I'd lose my mind, but I think I'm also quite stubborn. Maybe I would respond in the way that you guys responded. But but I'm also thinking, a lot of the times when people are in such a strain, you would quickly just move to a business that's going to support you financially. Yani unatafuta pesa. So you're like, I have no cash. I did not prepare for this. What's the quickest way to make me money? You know, watu wanaingia in pyramid schemes and all these crazy things because it's like, I need quick cash. Otherwise, I'm not going to survive this. But the way you guys decided to respond to the situation really shows how considerate, how thoughtful you kind of sat down and you thought, okay, these are the strengths that we have. But at the same time, we still want to be impactful. And I think a lot of companies in Tanzania and Africa, if we were to move in that type of mindset, I think as a continent, we'd reach so much further. So I commend you for that, for your approach and just your thought process. And I can personally see it in your business, how you're able to make impact. As much as you guys are business partners, you are married as well. So how does your personal relationship influence your work dynamic?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this is a question we normally get, but I think Pius and I have really tried to kind of separate our personal relationship and the work relationship. Even when we announced that we're getting married, some of our clients were like, what? Get out of here. You guys were in a relationship all this time. So our staff were surprised. Some of our staff members who are not like that close to us were also surprised. What? You guys are getting engaged. So that was really something that we believe we had really strived to like separate, that this is work and this is our personal life. So out of the office or out of work, we will be Glory and Pius who are lovers, but when we are at work, we would be partners in work. So that has really helped us, because sometimes it's very easy to get carried away, or maybe sometimes maybe there's a pending deadline or there's something that is going on. So we don't take it like because we're husband and wife, so we'll just take it easy, or maybe because we're husband and wife, we will slack on work and not do what is supposed to be done. So I'd say we have tried. Although sometimes it gets trickier when you bring work at home, and there's sometimes you want personal space, not to speak about work, but you always speak about work. So it's a balance, and it's a dance that we try to balance it there.
I think just to highlight more on that, because like looking also my thought process. Sometimes I, you know, in the middle of night, I have a new idea on how to move Ubuntu Impact. So I think that's where usually the challenge comes in, where your girl becomes mad, like, why are you bringing work at home? But I think it's also just the personality. Like sometimes my ideas or the ideation sometime would come at hours that are not work related. And these days recently I'm trying not to tune in, like, okay, now I'm at home. But usually when it's anything that's revenue oriented, Glory knows. She'll be like, Pius, why are you bringing this time? But I think I've been trying to master that and learn. But I think it's not easy. It's not easy, especially when you know there are some burning issues, but you also want to bring the family part, and there's issues about the business that are very urgent, maybe very, 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 really troubling you, and you really want to bring them up. So that kind of it's a learning journey, I believe, for any business partners that are also either lovers or maybe married or maybe relatives. I think that's something that I've seen, and also I think also from our business clients that we engage with, or partners that we engage with, we also have a reference to also some of them that are married couples, and they've really built their business beyond Tanzania borders. And so sometimes we have those catch up with them. We invest time to just converse and get their highlights in terms of how they mastered, how they evolved, because it's a learning journey. And Glow, I think that's something that it's really important to separate, because you may find you are just business partners throughout, 24/7 business partners, which also affects the other side. Or maybe if you just become couples 24/7, it also affects the business. So that's something that it takes time to master it.
Yeah. And do you think that dynamic, you being business partners and lovers, especially on the aspect of you guys actually being lovers, do you think that has contributed to the success of the business and to allow you to reach this almost, you guys are coming up to a 3-year mark as of next year, I believe. Do you think that has contributed to allow you guys to stay together and to just keep that fire burning?
100%. I think that's something that I would say, because as being a couple, and also looking in terms of the long term, looking in terms of where do you, where you want the business to be. And I think even when we were starting the business, the first thing that came into our mind was building something that's generational. That's not just about me. glory, but something that may go beyond generations, may serve across different countries. So with that, that's a huge, big purpose that you need to hold. And usually even would usually tell our team members that what really Ubuntu Impact stands for, it's bigger than all of us. So with that, I think it has really pushed us to, sometimes we know that we are tired, but we're like, no, we have to push to manage this. And also building something that's generational, it means you're not just thinking even just for your, maybe for your kids, for your grandkids, you're thinking something that can last for the next 100 years. So it's bigger. So you know, you really want to push yourself, you really want to make it work. And also being a couple and really passing through that journey where you had nothing. And I think when I say nothing, it's 100% nothing, where sometimes you go to a meeting and you don't have a fare to come back, and you're like, okay, you know, let's just walk back. And as you do that, that's not an easy journey to pass through. And to even build something to a certain stage, you're like, no, we're not going back to where we were. So we need to grow further. We need to grow further. So I think because you have really experienced the lower level of, you know, starting a business, and as a couple, the demand that also comes with that, to even being at a stage where you have a team and you see the business is being trusted, the reputation is has you know, gotten to a certain stage, so you're always pushing not to go back where you pass through. So I think that has been also firmly with, and I think because I have also experienced building something with friends, it works. But when you don't have that strong why that builds you to together, you may find something would just 6 months, and suddenly everyone wants to do their own thing, then it's done. But as a couple, you know, because even we had, there are times I used to primarily focus on MC. I had to pause for some time, be like, no, let me invest all my energy into the business. Glory also had several initiatives that she was running. We're like, no, pause. Let's invest everything into the business. So when you're a couple, there's like there's a lot to lose. And because of that, you really want to put everything that you have to make sure that it works, because you're also thinking, what about our kids, you know, as they come in? What about our family? So there's a lot of things that are coming in, and there's no instant where you feel maybe there's another choice. By that time, your choice to make it work, yeah.
That's quite beautiful, I would say. I completely commend you for that. And it really shows the thought process, just listening to you both. It shows how deliberate and how intentional you are in this journey. So, and it's something that other cultures in the world manage to do very well. I would say Asians, Arabs, Jews, they think long term when it comes to business. And it's nice to see that we have young Africans like yourselves that are also thinking generational wise, as opposed to just, hey, we need our daily bread today. So that's really, really beautiful. And what's one thing you guys have learned about money and partnership from this experience? Because with business comes money, and there are times people usually say money is like the base of all evil and so on and so forth. But I'm just trying to see, what have you guys learned about money and partnership from this experience, especially as business partners?
Yes. So I would just share a bit on that, and then also Glory would also add. The first thing, I 100%, I think even when we started the business, both we do not have that strong financial background. So the first thing that we really invested was also to learn about that money, to learn about that pesa, to understand it in terms of business. Because when you're a couple, you know, you can just wake up and say, hey, let's take this amount of money and let's travel to this country and enjoy.
Yeah.
But then we had to really learn about, you know, the cash flow management. We had to learn also sometimes the hard way, because I remember in our fourth month of business, we got several penalties from TLIA because of not filing statutory deductions. So we also had to learn the hard way. Like in business, if you don't do this, you get penalties. And it was also one of, quite a challenging experience, because knowing that, okay, you're getting this amount of revenue where you are balancing it, and suddenly you hear there's penalty that even beyond that revenue. So it kind of challenges you in terms of how best now you need to manage that. But also on the other side is on the cash flow, it's primarily being strict in terms of the sustainability of the business. We have tried largely to separate the business entity and we as the partners in a way that not every amount that comes in also needs to go out, but just if a certain amount X comes in, how do we balance it to ensure that it is sustainable for the next month, it's for the next years. And also similar to having a team, you're thinking about they will need salaries, they will need running the daily operations. So that we had to learn in terms of how we need to balance that. But also we have really set very strict approval process for both both partners, where any amount that needs to go out, there has to be a clear reason. We had some time, we have usually finance meetings where we would reason out, do we need to take this amount to certain expense? Is it important? And if it's important, how does it bring back to the business? So I think that's something that we have really tried to invest, and always we've been engaging with consultants at certain duration where they would advise us. As they audit, they would share us that piece of advice in terms of the financial management. How best do we need to ensure that the sustainability of the business, but also the financial stand of the business, ensure that it is sustainable for the next month and years that we want to build. So I think that's something that we have also been keen. But also, as we also grown as a business, we also tried to separate how we manage the expenses, where we now had to move from, because at first it was just me and Glory managing everything that goes out, comes in. But now we've tried also to move from that, things like the office, ops, operations, they're usually managed by, one of our colleagues who would usually come in and present report. So as we have evolved, it has also helped us to manage the financial sustainability of the business, and also just ensure that we really push to have more reserve in the business rather than whatever comes in needs to go out. And also I think, just to add, being a business like for 2 years now, most of the challenge that usually we get, not a challenge, more a question from our client is, if we do a service with you guys, do we need to pay you within 1 week? So I think that's something that we had to really fight for the first 6 months. I think for the first six to even 1 year, because every revenue that was coming in, it already had a cost attached to it. So just even most of the business, we even saw how sometimes we would really disturb them and nag them, because the moment of done a project today, we'd want at least tomorrow latest for them to pay. But now, in terms of nature, we'd be like, the invoice will be running every time, following up. When are you? When are you? Can we receive the POP? All that. Sometime we had to say, if we're really wanting to build something that's big, that would really serve the big organizations, now it's time we need to strengthen our cash flow and also strengthen our reserve in a way that even if we do a business right now, it's fine, you can pay us within 30 days. So that way it has helped us. And even managing that, not even thinking, okay, now the salaries are coming. Are we, how do we pay? We have tried to really learn that and see how do we balance that and at least have reserves that can ensure also our members by a certain date that comes in, they're not stressed. What will happen? Are we getting salaries or not? So that's something that we have tried to balance it. Maybe, Glory, if
I think you've said it all. And sometimes I even joke to my mom when she's asking me for something, then I'll tell her, Bado sijalipo, I'm still not paid. And she'll be like, how? Because you are the owner of the company, you can just take the money and give me. So I think this is not a habit that most business owners have. Usually it's like from bank to mouth, people just take any amount they want because they're the business owners. And I used to tell my mom, we have made Ubuntu to be Ubuntu and we work for Ubuntu, so we all get paid at the end of the month. We don't just take because maybe I have an emergency, so I'll just take 500. I'll take 1 million to do this. So I think that is the discipline that has really helped us. And I think we have both agreed on that. None of us has been someone who will be like, I just want to take this for this, or maybe there's this and this I want to solve quickly, and I take money from the company. So that has, the discipline has really helped us a lot.
Okay. And you guys feel like there's enough healthy competition in the market, in the industry that you're in. How is the market right now? Is it healthy competition? What gaps do you feel you guys are able to fill that other companies might not be able to do?
Yeah, that's quite a good question because we do assess the market, especially narrowing it down to Tanzania. I'd say there is some competition, and you know, because our business, it's a business that one individual consultant can do, a company can do. I'll take an example of recruitment. We've had some companies who would tell us that we have an individual consultant who is sending us CVs, and when we close, maybe we pay them this amount of money just to send us CVs. And you as a company are striving for, no, we have a process. This is how we need to do this process. This is what we need to be paid. So I'd say the competition is there in the market, but I feel like most people are not valuing this service as it's supposed to be valued. And that is where the gap is, because if someone is doing this, the same thing that I'm doing, but they're going to undervalue it, they would be like, okay, I'll just recruit this role for you. Maybe give me 50,000 Tanzanian shillings. And that same client is coming to us and will be like, we charge this amount of money. This is our process. This is the turnaround time. We give you a summary. This is what we do. So we would actually be giving them better value and the quality is better, but they would prefer someone who is telling them, I have a background in HR. Just give me 50,000 Tanzanian shillings, then I will do this role for you. So I'd say the competition isn't as healthy because we are ranking ourselves we are demeaning the value of HR consultancy.
Yeah.
And that is where people would feel like they have options. I have options to go to an independent consultant. Why should I take you? So what we try is to really make sure that we have better quality. Turnaround time is good, and we also maintain positive relationship with our clients because when they see success, when they deal with us, that is when they keep on coming back. So that is what we try to do. And I wished more HR consultants would value their value. They would keep on increasing their value so that clients would also understand the value of HR services and not that people will just say, okay, I'll just take this for quick pennies and then I will deliver this. At the end of the day, we are destroying the market in terms of HR consultancy.
Yeah. And when it comes to HR consultancy, there are two aspects that are kind of ringing in my mind at the moment. Yeah. There's the client who, for the longest time, have kind of operated in a system that probably, like you're describing, they have an independent consultant that comes in, shares a bunch of CVs, and then that's how they move forward. And then there's this other aspect for you that you're talking about value. So now for some big organizations, they would be thinking, when you're talking about value, sometimes it's more one-sided. It's like, hey, we're going to charge you 2 million for these number of CVs. But in terms of value, in terms of the candidates that you're presenting and the type of service that you're going to be giving them could be compromised as well. So how do you ensure that you have a balance where you're fairly compensated as a company, but at the same time, you are providing quality services, sharing good and credible candidates to these companies so that for them, it is giving value for money as well. How do you manage to do that? And you know, you don't have to spill your beans because it is business. And there are other companies probably that are competitors that might be listening. But how do you guys ensure that you're bringing that balance so that at the end of the day, when you guys are asking for the type of compensation that you're asking for, you can actually speak for it?
Exactly. Yeah. So I would say what we actually do is like we make sure that we have really quite strict processes in terms of what we do. Even if I am the one doing the role or there's someone else doing, I'm taking recruitment, for example, or there's someone else in the company that is doing that role. It's like we have a stipulated process of how we do things. So even with clients that sometimes, because we go and pitch to a client and then they give you a chance to work with them, they usually come back because they see the value in terms of the way we, first of all, we understand their needs when we speak to them, because most of the time it's not just you've come with a request, then I just take it on. I understand what you need and I advise you. Maybe sometimes this is not the right way that you're going, or maybe this role, maybe there's been people coming in and out. Maybe there's a problem before we even bring someone else. Maybe you have a problem in this aspect. We need to solve this problem first before we bring in someone else. But also recruitment is just about bringing CVs. We really make sure that we bring them quality candidates, that we've vetted them. We know these candidates are from reputable organizations, or if not even a reputable organization, but these candidates really want this job, or a matter of not wanting the job, but they really, what they've written in their CV is what they are, what is really the reality. Because sometimes people oversell themselves in CVs. Some people would say they've worked in so-and-so places for 3 years, but in actual sense, they haven't. Some would have their CVs saying they're currently somewhere while they're not. So we try to show this value to the clients, and that's why we keep on getting return clients, because they see if I close a role with Ubuntu, usually this candidate stays. And usually if the candidate leaves, usually it's not the problem because of the candidate. Maybe I have failed on my end, but we also support them after the recruitment, during the 6 months, checking in with the candidates. Are the candidates doing well? Or maybe the candidates would tell us maybe they're unclear about so-and-so. So we help them in that way. That's why someone would be okay. I feel like I still want to work with Ubuntu because I might get these services at a cheaper rate somewhere else, but I won't get all this if I work with someone else rather than working with Ubuntu.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Now, do you feel that starting this business together has made your personal relationship stronger? And now that you're married, you feel that it's so much, so much stronger than it was before?
Yes, that could be your...
Yes. Yes.
Umemrutia baba mwenye nyumba.
Yani. 100%. Because first, their time we... Because if we're to look in terms of the time that we spend together, it's basically 24 hours. you know, the 9 to 5, even more than sometimes 5, and also the, you know, the home or the family time. So the business played a crucial role in terms of how we're able to know each other and also how we're able to support each other, bounce back ideas. I think now Glory really knows me when I'm stressed, knows me like, okay, this man right now, he's about to give out a new idea. You know, he knows that, you know, he knows maybe there's something troubling. So with, and that came in because of how we're able to transition into the business, but also, looking in terms of the time that we started our business, it was like the lowest point of our lives in the way that there was no stable source of income that was coming in. So that really strengthened how we're able to relate to each other, you know, because looking in terms of in African context, a boyfriend now, you are to support, you are to provide. And when you look at yourself, your pockets are empty. So at that time, it's really about relating to each other. And I think for me, that was the time that when I knew that, yeah, Glory is the right person that I would want to spend my life with because of that journey that we're able to go through. Because now, you know, when you are doing the vowing process, when they tell you, would you be able to richer and poor? We experienced the poor. That's when we experienced it. Because it was a time where you want to eat and you ask each other, so what are we going to eat today? What do we have? Well, you know, you had a client meeting, then you're like, so should we take a boda boda? But now we are business partners. How do we take a boda boda? Two of us, Mishkaki, yeah. Non-boda-boda. What if the partner, you know, what if the client see us? But it was that time where we were able to relate each other. And it was one of the best time. And I think that's what really strengthened our relationship. And we're able to know each other. And now it's, you know, now it's like that statement that they say, it's like icing cake or caking ice.
Icing on the cake.
Icing on the cake. Yeah, like now we're in that phase where we've been able to pass through that journeys together. We've been able to know each other. And now is just moving with the flow, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Anything to add, Gloria?
Yeah, so I think what Pius said is really true. And one thing that we and Pius relate to, we really like smart people. So I think the fact that sometimes he can say something and then he'll say, okay, Gloria, you're really smart. Or I would say, okay, Pius, that's really smart. I think that has been... It's also a solid foundation in our relationship. That's why sometimes we're at home, instead of watching a movie or speaking about something about us, we would be debating about this, we'd be talking about this client, how do we do this? So I'd say it has really, it has strengthened our relationship. Some people ask us that, I'm chokani, or maybe some people would say, like, I wouldn't be able to have my wife to be with my wife at the office, then be with them at home. I feel like I would be tired with them. But for us, it's never that way. It's usually like, we always want to be together. We always want to speak about this. And having the business to connect us in terms of things that we relate to and what we do, I think it has made our relationship even more stronger.
Yes, yes. And I think also just to add on that, when you were sharing, something just came into my mind. There was just time back just recently where we watched a series. It was a shocking one, a movie. I think you've heard of it, Tulsa King. So
yeah, Tulsa King.
Yes, yes. So it was very funny that we ended the season two and then we started discussing, like, so what are some of the points that we can leverage, that we can take to build your own farm. You know, yeah, then we're like, you know, Manfredi used this kind of principle. How can it? So you know, it's usually fun like that, where we are able to even take some lessons from some of the things that maybe someone else wouldn't, but then we do that and we bring it to the discussion of the business, and that's how we also relate to each other further, yeah.
That's quite something. And just to wrap up, when companies start, they have a vision. What do you want the company to do for Africa, for Tanzania, for the world? What's that thing that you feel like, you know what? Once we're able to do that, we will have achieved the vision.
Yes, yes. Thank you for that. Our purpose has been always to drive substantial growth to our clients through their people. And I think for us, even just looking right now, there was one of our clients, our first client that we started to engage with, she shared some feedback recently where she stated that when you guys started with my business in terms of consultants, and looking where now we have evolved, we have moved from this office to a larger office. Our people now are very process oriented. We have moved on how we do business. We are now looking in terms of bigger purpose that we want to serve. For us, when we hear comments like that, it's already feeling like we are already coming to our purpose, because our purpose is more of how do we touch as more businesses, as more people across Tanzania, across Africa, across the world, where they're able to achieve their substantial growth, able to really see their purpose coming to life. So in the coming years, as Ubuntu Impact, we envision seeing the company that will serve across different countries in Africa and outside Africa. We are envisioning where teams will be pushed to their growth in terms of as where we came in, teams were working to a certain way and they were able to evolve in terms of their processes, in terms of how they achieve their goals to a larger stage. But also on the other angle, we are envisioning the team that we have will be a very capable and potential one that will be also able to push the vision forward. So having a team that will be set in different countries, and I think that's a conversation that we have already have, where we have already started to envision moving to countries in East Africa. So in a few years, I think we would want to see the company already evolving to that. But also as we do that, growth in different angles from the team, from the revenue, but also from the quality of our services that we offer, and also the quality of impact that would have driven across the countries that we are in. So I think that's more on all going back to the key word, which is substantial growth. In everything that that we do, it's how do we enhance substantial growth to our clients, to our people, but overall to our business. Maybe grow a few. Yeah,
I think you've said it all. And one thing, just to add on what Pew said, it's also to revolutionize how people perceive HR or the function of HR in companies. I'd say, being that I've also been HR in companies, sitting in companies, the way HR is viewed by the employers, the way HR is viewed by the employees, people would say that HR is just there to support the management. It's never there for them. Processes are just there for the company and they're not there for employees. So how do we make sure that that understanding is there? Although it's not a simple process, but sometimes you might see, this is something we usually see in companies, you might find a company has started, it's in their sixth year of business, but they don't have a HR department internally. They don't see the value of having a HR department. They only see a value of having sales, maybe the technical team, but they don't feel like they need HR to be part of the departments. And then until something happens, that's when they, oh, we needed HR, or maybe they've been sued, or there's something that is happening, that is when they feel like they need HR. So it's just transforming people's minds in terms of the importance of HR, capacitating your people, the importance of having policies that work for your people, not feeling like you can just fire people out of nowhere. So I think that is also, just to add to what Pew said, it's also transforming how people view HR and how people view employer-employee relationships, especially in the corporate side.
Okay. And my final one, and it's something that I'm seeing more of in first world countries, or I would say Western countries, the power of technology and just the way technology is revolutionizing the workspace and processes. How do you guys feel you remain relevant in a space where technology is picking up quite quickly? And how do you think you are ready to embrace technology and even AI to ensure that your business remains relevant in such changing times?
Yes, indeed. Thank you for your question. You know, that's the conversation that we just had it yesterday, where we spent some time with the team, and it has been more on how do we evolve on how we offer our services through tech. And I think that's something that we are ready and also we are keen at evolving towards that. We understand that even though we may be a bit in terms of our when we look in terms of our country, we may be a bit slow in terms of how we have evolved into tech, into AI fully, but I think that's something that we have already started conversation on, and we are keen to champion it 100%. And I think especially on the overall, how do we offer services from HR consultants to, you know, creating a platform that can evolve on how HRs conveys, or a community that can bring all the HRs across the world. So I think that's something that we are keen at really moving to that, but also having a solution oriented platform that allows people all overall HR that we are saving, when they have an a problem that they want solution, or maybe when they want an answer to something, how are we set to have a platform that is contextualized based on our community in a way that can have solutions for them? So that's an area that we are keen at, and we believe in the next few, either maybe months or years, would already start to evolve on how we offer our services, and also how do we more centralize all into tech. And even looking in terms of being in the business just for 2 years now, we have tried to already evolve into tech. We have fully invested into platform that allows all our ops operations to run smoothly, from how do we do a smooth invoicing system, from internal comms platform, to even how do we ensure that our customers can reach and also engage with us easily. So I think that's looking in terms of the 2 years. Those are things that we are already keen at, and we believe in the next few years to come, and also how AI has been evolving, that's something that we are keen and we are already evolving. And also in terms of the generation that we have, because most of our members are Gen Z. We are millennials moving to... we are millennials. And now most of our members are Gen Z. And we have also seen how they are a bit fast in terms of utilizing these platforms like ChatGPT. So I think that's something that we also want to move with our team, and also how that they've been also positioned to use AI tools already. So I think it's just how to also ensure that within the team, and also to our clients that we serve, they are informed on the right use of AI, and also right use of the tools, to ensure that it's now not, you know, the copy and paste AI, but it's more contextualized based on where we are. Because right now you may find someone wants to, you know, to research something, and we just go to ChatGPT and take it, copy and paste, and send it. But how do we evolve from reviewing it and using your own brain in terms of now putting it into the context of where we are? So right now we have been also keen in terms of equipping and training our team in terms of the effective use of AI, and we are already engaging with some of the AI trainers towards really revamping our team towards that. Maybe Gloria also to add on that.
Yeah, I think when you asked that question, Pius was really happy, because this is something he's been preaching so much in terms of how do we move from being traditional HR, because that is something that people are now moving from and still remain relevant, like you said. And because currently instead of fighting with tech, because tech is already here, AI is already here, instead of fighting with it, how do we embrace it and bring HR tech solutions. So that is something that we are also looking at. Like you say, we're also partnering with people to get more confident with it and to understand how can we start transforming ourselves and offer those solutions to our client. Because something that used to take, someone would pay me to create a policy, someone can easily as well just prompt AI to give them a policy just as good as the one that I, or even better than the one that I would have produced. So how do we make sure that we are ahead of that, and how do we get and embrace tech in our company? So that is something that we've been championing, and it's something that we're already in process of partnering with organizations, equipping our team, learning. I think in the next week or 2 weeks, we'll have a training of how to incorporate AI, how to partner with other companies in terms of tech and making sure that we are also ahead instead of staying where we used to be.
Yeah. That's a good move. I love that. Because I've been in the tech space. I have been in the consultancy space as well. I have been in the education space as well. And every time I sit and I try to connect those different sectors, it really shows that, as you said, AI is here. It's not going anywhere. And where I am at the moment, every tool, everything that a normal person would do, it's either tech companies are taking that up, they're doing it faster, quicker, better. But the only thing I miss, the only thing I miss from back home is the human element of it.
I
think if companies also try to remain and keep that human element of things, it will keep humanity, because human beings are still human beings. AI and tech, as much as it's really plausible, it can only work 100% with robots and robotic things and technological items. But when you want to still keep a human element to it, you still need to ensure that you have that balance. So I'm quite confident, especially continents like Africa, that as much as technology is very vast in these Western countries, the one thing that makes us human has still stayed human. So whilst you are moving towards tech, I hope you guys still embrace that human aspect of it. And maybe companies shouldn't even be so shaken so much that, oh, technology is here and AI is here. It will simplify things, yes. But when you want to have that human connection, you will still need human beings. So guys, keep going. And I'm happy that you could join us. Any final remarks before we close?
No, I think this has been really nice. We should get more invited into your podcast and just get to speak about our journey, but also to, because I feel like after this session, it has been like a, what do they call that? It has been like a, somewhere that I've been able to express myself, like a mini therapy.
Yeah.
Not therapy per se, but so it is a very good platform, and thank you for inviting us. We're very honored to be part of your podcast, and to be, I hope you'll keep on inviting us. We'll have more to talk about.
Absolutely. Because the essence of this podcast is for people to share their real life experiences.
Exactly,
I no longer want to see people sharing their life experiences only on Instagram and TikTok. I actually want to sit with real people, real human beings that can say their story fully and not from a picture of them being in Bali. I want you to tell me what happened in Bali, you know? And that's what I want. So I'm happy to have you guys join us next time. Whenever you have anything to share with the world, please use this as your avenue, as your platform to do that. And so thank you both so much for opening up and taking us through such an intimate and honest part of your journey. It's never easy to talk about loss. But your story is powerful. And for anyone listening who might be in that same place right now, wondering how to move forward, I hope this conversation offers a bit of light, comfort, and courage. So thank you, Puse and Gloria, and you guys have a blessed evening.
Thank you
so much. It has been a great time spending with you. We really enjoyed it, and it really took us back in terms of the journey, the experience, and it has been a refreshing one, and really one that makes you to feel, you know, gratitude and just say, wow. So with everything that comes, there is also, you know, that bright light that will come in the end. And I think when you look back, you're like, oh, it really happened. So thank you so much. It was quite a great conversation to have.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Have a good one.
Hey, dear listener, thank you for taking this journey with us. We are so grateful to have you on board. To help us grow, please share this show with a friend. Don't forget to subscribe. We are on Instagram and TikTok under the name Hadith Yango Podcast. We would love to hear from you. Share your feedback. And if you have a story you want to share with the world, send us a DM or an email on hadithyangopodcast@gmail.com.